This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Wa'ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, to bless us on this day of Ramadan. And we ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to accept from us and open the doors of righteousness for us, the doors of khayr for all of us, and close the doors of sin as you've opened the doors of Jannah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Open the doors of righteousness for us and allow us to enter them and to be accepted. And as you've closed the doors and gates of Jannah, close the doors of sins for us and stop us from doing what harms us in this dunya and in the akhirah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to send salah and salam upon His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we ask Him to allow us to follow His sunnah in small and big things, to make us of His companions in this life and His companions and close followers in the next life. Ameen. So today's hadith, inshaAllah, is about patience. And in that hadith, which is reported in al-Bukhari, the last part of that hadith, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهِ وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who seeks to be patient, this is the word yatasabbar, the one who seeks to be patient, Allah will make him patient. And no one is given something that is better and more encompassing, meaning bigger, more encompassing than patience. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlights that the gift of patience is unparalleled. There's nothing like the gift of patience when Allah gives it. And in the first part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outlines how we can become more patient. Now this is extremely relevant for us, because you are in the month of patience, Shahru Sabri. It's not because I'm saying so, it's because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it in an authentic hadith, Shahru Sabr. This month, he called it in an authentic hadith, Shahru Sabri, the month of patience, meaning right now at this moment, you're living in and experiencing the month of patience. Why is Ramadan called the month of patience? Because in it for about 30 days, 29 or 30 days, you're staying away from things that are habitual to all of us. And that alters many things in our lives. You know, psychologically, it affects us emotionally and in our minds and our hearts, but also physically. Physically, we encounter some difficulties in the month of Ramadan. Our sleep patterns change. What we eat, what we consume, and we feel that. And we feel it for how many days? A month. So that teaches us patience. That takes us through patience. Whether we are aware of it or not, Allah Azza wa Jal in this month is teaching us patience. And there's a reason why we want to be taught patience, as we will explain the hadith, inshaAllah. So Allah is teaching us patience in this month. And as we are learning it, right, we are gaining something very invaluable. So how do we earn patience? How do we learn it? How do we get it? In that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهِ. The one who seeks patience, Allah will make him patient. So it means that patience happens through practice. Now it's important that whenever we want something, we have to realize two things. We have to realize that whatever we gain comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. So yeah, I can try and earn it. I can practice it. I can put a lot of effort into it. And that is essential. But with all of that, the result, the end result is dependent on Allah Azza wa Jal giving that thing to me. I can try to get a job, but Allah ultimately is the one who gives it to me. But in order to get it, I need to apply, I need to have the right skills, I need to go for an interview, right? So I cannot do one of two extremes. Either I say, Ya Allah, give me that job. I just make dua. Ya Allah, give me that job. And I don't go to the interview and I don't submit a CV. I'm not going to get it. Just simply by me asking Allah, but doing nothing, I'm not going to get it. Or I do the opposite, meaning that I try all the physical things, but I neglect to ask Allah or rely on Him. If Allah doesn't want it, Allah doesn't give it to me. Or if I get that job based on my skills, thinking that I don't need Allah Azza wa Jal, I've corrupted my heart and corrupted my body. By what? By believing that I don't need Allah, or it's not Allah who is behind that job. So I cannot do these two extremes. I must physically go after something, but also ask Allah for it and feel that it's a gift from Allah when I receive it. So we got that? Both of these things are important. So when I want to be patient, I cannot simply ask Allah for it. Ya Allah, make me more patient. Ya Allah, grant me more patience. I like patience when dealing with my family. I like patience in my job. I like patience when driving. So Ya Allah, just make me patient. That's it. And I don't practice it. I don't try to earn it. I'm not going to be patient like that. On the other hand, I can't just simply practice patience without believing that I need to ask Allah for it. Because it says in the hadith what? If you have a question, ask it, inshallah. It says in the hadith what? That if you want to be patient, Allah will make you so. So Allah is the one who makes it. Allah is the one who makes it. And that is a realization that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to the believers. So if I want to be patient, I practice it. And Ramadan shows us how that is so. So I want to eat. I say, no, I can't. It's haram. I stop. And I feel hungry, but I say no. And I keep telling myself no, no, no until Maghrib time. Then I say now yes. That teaches me patience. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I say no, no, no until Maghrib time. Subhanallah, I could have a headache. I can't take a painkiller. And I have to wait till Maghrib time. That teaches me patience. Patience is hard for me, right? I have a condition. I can still fast, but it's just harder today. And I don't feel like it, but I force myself. That repeated commitment to fasting, that repeated forcing of the self to do something and to be away from something is the practice of patience. And the more that you practice patience, the more that you become a patient person. And the more that you acquire this attribute. So the Prophet ﷺ says, if you practice it, you become more patient. You develop patience. And we understand this, subhanAllah, in our life. Meaning, suppose, for instance, that I want to diet. Outside of fasting, I want to diet. So I want to stay away from certain food. In the beginning, it's hard. But if I say no to myself and I force myself, I'll have that ability to say no and to continue to say no until I kick off that habit. I don't eat these things anymore. So before I was addicted to something, now I'm not. Now, for instance, suppose I want to walk or run a 10K. I can hardly do 1K. But I start the first day and I build stamina and I build determination. And day after day, I add, subhanAllah, kilometers until after a month or two or three, I can walk or I can run 10K. How did I develop that patience? By daily determination and saying, every day I will do a little bit more. Every day I am determined to do and follow this path until eventually I will reach it. So every single day I add a little bit more. My stamina builds. My determination builds until I reach, inshallah, the end and I can do the 10K that I've determined to. Patience is exactly like that. We do this all the time. We do this all the time. When we study, when we diet, when we lift weights, when we pursue a job, when we learn a new skill, we always depend on patience for that. So whenever ourself, inshallah, remember this, whenever ourself, our nafs, Our weakness tells us, I can't do this. I can't let go of that. Remember that, no, you indeed can, but maybe you and I at this moment lack the will to do it, lack the patience to do it. So if you want it, you can get it, inshallah. You just have to be determined, ask Allah for it, and try slowly, and bi-idhnillah, Allah will help you reach that objective. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. If you want it, if you want patience with anything in life, Allah can give it to you. You just have to be determined and ask Allah for it. Now, the next part, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one has been given something that is better and more encompassing, more bigger than patience. Why is that? Why is that there's nothing better than patience? Because you need it for everything. If you now want to obey Allah, you need patience. How can you pray without patience? How can you give zakah without patience? How can you go to hajj? How can you forgive others? How can you be good to your parents or take care of your kids without patience? How can you stay away from haram without patience? Haram is so attractive, so easily, so attainable. How can you stay away from haram without patience? How can you deal with difficulties in life without patience? How can you even deal with good things in life without patience? Because when you receive something good, it has the tendency to make you very rebellious and to forget about Allah Azza wa Jal. How can you be grateful if not when you receive this thing, you say, this is from Allah and I need to receive it with gratitude. Do with it what Allah loves and not what Allah hates. That requires patience. So gratitude, sincerity, reliance on Allah, entry to Jannah, staying away from hellfire requires patience. So you are in a month that teaches you how to be close to Allah, teaches you how to enter Jannah and escape from hellfire. That's why he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith, as-siyamu junnah, fasting is an armor and a protection from hellfire. When you fast, you learn how to be patient, how to defend yourself and protect yourself from your enemy, the shaitan. And if you are patient, and this is an incredible insight from the Quran, إِيَّكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عِشْرُونَ صَابِرُونَ يَغْلِبُوا مِئَتَيْنَ, as Allah says in the Quran, if there are 20 patient men among you, they will defeat 200. That is in regular times and circumstances, as a regular human being. You do not have the ability to overcome such a number. If you are just 20 people, defeating 200, if you're only 20, is unimaginable. That cannot happen. Mathematically, it cannot happen, right? In any fight, it's so uneven. Yet, if you are patient and if you have iman, Allah Azza wa Jalla says your strength will multiply to the extent that 20 patient believers can defeat 200 impatient non-believers. And by default, they will be impatient if they are non-believers because they have not learned the patience of iman. So I want you to remember this, that if you are patient, your strength so multiplies that you are so stronger than the shaitan and so many of the helpers of the shaitan. The only thing that you and I need is patience. So it injects so much strength in you and me that we can do so much with our lives. So if you and I are at a position in our lives where we are saying that I am so weak that I cannot, life is so hard that I cannot, remember that you have that tool, that weapon that Allah had given to you, which is the weapon of patience. And you have so much of it because you have Allah Azza wa Jal. A non-believer typically cannot be patient as a believer because you don't have that resource. You don't have depth of iman, that I have the divine behind me, Allah behind me. And he can always supply me. He can always protect me. I can always ask him for more and he can keep giving me more. That is the patience that Allah can give when no one else, if they just rely on themselves, can get that much patience. So you have it. So if you are in a position in your life at this moment where you say, I cannot, I am too weak, life is too hard, remember that Allah had given you in this month the ability to acquire patience. And if you get it, بإذن الله عز وجل, primarily and fundamentally بإذن الله عز وجل, then you can do everything and anything if Allah wills it. So get patience in this life, inshallah. Get patience because we need it for everything. Get patience in the month of Ramadan. And if you're finding it particularly hard this month, these few days, remember that Allah Azza wa Jal is training you and me. He's training you to acquire more of it so that after Ramadan, you can say, I can do this and this is not too hard. With the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tayyib, inshallah. So let me, inshallah, quickly try to answer these questions, and may Allah Azza wa Jal help with that. This question is for my cousin. She's asking if hijab is obligated because she's unsure about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hijab is obligated. This is by consensus. It is there in the Quran. It is there in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then on top of that, Muslim consensus, scholarly consensus for ages has been that hijab is absolutely an obligation, meaning it's not a matter of debate or ijtihad or doubt or maybe difference of opinion. It's absolutely obligated. And this should be etched, right, or engraved in the heart and mind of every Muslim. Our weaknesses aside, that's something that is very different. I'm too weak, I cannot do this, that is different. But as far as at being an obligation in Islam, it's absolutely fundamental that you and I believe that it's an obligation. Because it becomes scary then when we compromise these basic beliefs. I cannot believe that salah is not an obligation. That's not an option. Whether I'm praying or not praying because I'm lazy or I don't have time, that's a separate issue. But not believing that salah is an obligation, that's really very scary. Or not believing that Ramadan is an obligation. Or not believing that, you know, the Quran is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. These are very basics. Similarly, hijab as being an obligation, that is a very basic belief. So yes, it is absolutely an obligation in Islam. Can I perform wudu wearing regular socks? Or there's a special sock? So you can perform wudu wearing your regular socks, inshallah. The regular socks that we wear that cover the ankles, right? You can wear those, inshallah, and wipe over them. So you wash your feet and you wipe over them. So regular socks are fine, inshallah. Is it forbidden to be away from your husband for months? Both are overseas in different countries. I heard this from people that it's forbidden. It is not forbidden. It is not forbidden. If it happens through agreement between them, they have to be apart because of, you know, circumstances. So he's out overseas to take care of family or to work or what have you. So that is allowed, inshallah, right? What would be forbidden is for the woman to leave the house of her husband and travel without his permission. That would be forbidden. But if they agree that they have to be in separate countries because of circumstances, that is different and that is permissible, inshallah. Just for input, in Surah Al-Asr, it says that ones who are not at loss are the ones who enjoin each other to patience and to the truth. Absolutely. So all of humanity are at last, except those إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So they have iman and righteous good deeds, they perform them. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. They enjoin each other for patience and for following the truth. So they are patient and they ask each other to be patient. So without patience, subhanAllah, we are at last. So جزاكم الله خيرا for that input of yours. Can a woman do i'tikaf only overnight at home when she is living alone? And as it's prohibited that to offer sunnah and fard at one spot in this ruling for home and also for a woman to do. So can a woman do i'tikaf overnight at home when she's living alone? It's prohibited that it's to offer sunnah and fard at one spot. And this is the ruling for home. Okay, I think I understand what she's saying. So we said that Only a minority of scholars allow i'tikaf at home. The majority of scholars say that i'tikaf is in the masjid. And that's the right opinion, by the way. The right opinion is that there is no i'tikaf at home. I'tikaf is only in the masjid, both male and female. I'tikaf is only at the masjid. If you're doing something at home, this is not really called technically an i'tikaf. But, it is all one recommended that you will have a musalla at home. You know what a musalla? We call it a masjid or a house masjid. What is that? A spot. It could be a room, could be a corner at home that you designate for Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, that this is my musalla, this is my masjid, this is where I pray. That's a special place that you keep clean. This is where you pray your fard, you pray your sunnah. It's recommended that you do this. There's evidence for that in the sunnah. Okay? So, if you choose so, to replicate i'tikaf, we're not calling it i'tikaf, but to replicate i'tikaf, replicate the effect of i'tikaf, that when it comes the last 10 nights of Ramadan, that you know, you put yourself in more or less seclusion, and you stay in that spot or in that room that is your musalla, and you read Quran, and you read books of hadith, and you pray, and you do dhikr. This is, inshallah, something that is good. You are replicating, duplicating i'tikaf, but it's not technically i'tikaf, but you're trying to gain what? The benefit or some of the benefits of i'tikaf by being in solitude. So this is okay, inshallah. Now, it's not prohibited, inshallah, to pray your fard and sunnah in the same spot. You just simply need to separate them. That is the sunnah. Okay? So you need to separate between them. The separation either could be in time or space. So if, let's say, for instance, I prayed my fard, right? I don't want to, as soon as I say, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Allahu Akbar, and I pray my sunnah, the same spot immediately after, that is wrong. You need to separate between them. How do I separate? If I'm in a rush and I need to pray the sunnah immediately after, once I say salamu alaykum, I stand up, I move to a different spot, and I pray my sunnah. So here I've separated the two so that they are not linked as if they are one salah. Okay? If I have more time, which is better, I will sit a bit, maybe remember Allah Azza wa Jal a bit, and then stand up. It could be in the same spot, and stand up and pray. What I've done is I've separated sunnah from fard by time. So time is my separation. Okay? So that is allowed, inshallah. So it can be in the same spot. Just separate between them, inshallah, and a minute or so, and then stand up and pray your fard, inshallah. That's fine, inshallah. How frequent to advise a friend who do not take care of their food, claim he has mental issues? Okay. So I don't fully understand this. How to frequently advise someone who are not care on food? Okay, so he does not take care of their food. They claim that they have mental issues. Do you mean that they're not fasting? Can I stay away from him? She stay with me. Okay. So I'm not sure what you mean. Do you mean that that person does not fast and they keep eating and they say that they cannot fast because they have mental issues? So that's what I understand from your question. So how frequently to advise them? SubhanAllah, I don't know what the mental issues that they have and if they're real mental issues or they are not. Allahu A'lam, I don't know. If they're really, really troubled and they cannot fast, maybe they have an excuse. Allahu A'lam, I don't know. Maybe they're using this as an excuse. Maybe they need some advice. So if you know that they are a person who can fast, but they're using it as an excuse, every once and then, she fasts, but she cannot focus. So she loses focus and she goes and eats. Allahu A'lam, it could be that she has an excuse. I do not know. I do not know. So assume different scenarios, right? And I apologize if I'm going over time. I'm trying to keep it, inshallah, up to about 10 to 15 minutes. After that is for questions, inshallah. So if you feel you need to leave, alhamdulillah, you can leave, inshallah. So I just want to answer the question before I leave. So anyway, if you feel that she truly has an excuse and she actually forgets, she has an excuse. If she actually forgets that she's supposed to fast and she goes and eats and drinks, you just let her know. She let her know, okay, you're not supposed to eat, sister. You're not supposed to eat. So put that aside. So as soon as you see her, you remind her. As soon as you, every time you see her, you remind her. If she forgets. If the issue is different, then Allah alam, you need to know what that issue is and deal with it accordingly. If If she truly cannot focus, she truly cannot fast, maybe she has an excuse. So it just depends on that, what the excuse is, right? There's a question here. Let me try to grab it. Seeking knowledge is obligated upon every Muslim. Is that including dunya seeking knowledge, like degrees? No. So seeking knowledge that it says it's an obligation on a Muslim, on every Muslim, this is religious knowledge. The other knowledge is recommended, depending, or permissible. So being a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, or what have you, no one says that this is an obligation on you, that you need to learn this knowledge. No, you don't need to learn it. You need to earn a living. That could happen without learning or getting a degree. It could simply be something physical that you do that requires minimal learning. So only earning a living and a sufficient living is an obligation on you. The rest is not an obligation. Religious knowledge is an obligation on all of us, but only in so much of what is an obligation on us that we need to know. That you're not memorizing all of the Quran, reading all Bukhari and Muslim is an obligation on every Muslim. That would be impossible on us. But what's an obligation is to learn what we have to do, learning the basics of belief, learning the basics of practice, basic what stay away from, basis of selling and buying. These are the things that we need to learn. So for instance, in Ramadan, learning what invalidates fasting, how I'm supposed to fast, from when to when, how I break my fast. These are the obligations. Beyond that, there are things that are recommended, right? So that is the obligation. So talab al-ilmi fariḍa, it's an obligation. This is religious knowledge. If I'm trying to get a degree, it takes you away from remembrance of Allah. Is it not okay to search from such degree? It depends on to what degree that degree is taking you away from Allah, right? So if it is really taking you away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, where you're forgetting about the obligations, you're not fasting, you're not praying on time, it's corrupting your heart, it's corrupting your life, that's not a good degree, that's not a good path for you. But if it's taking you away, meaning, you know, minimally away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, let's say for instance that before you used to spend a lot of time in ibadah, a lot of time in reading the Quran, but now because of this you can spend less time on it, but you're still what, praying on time, still reading some Quran every day, but not as much, still remembering Allah, but not as much, because you need to focus a lot more on that degree. That is okay, inshallah, that is okay. Because until you get it, you may need to sacrifice some of your time to be able to attain it. Later on, inshallah, you'll be able to come back to that degree, right? So it's, yeah, exactly. So you're not spending as much time as you want on remembering Allah, but you're still covering up the basics. You're still, you know, subhanAllah, taking care of the basics. So that's fine, inshallah. So somebody's saying here, I'm starting university, which the government is paying for, and pay later after finishing because I cannot afford it. Does that make it haram? Not necessarily, inshallah. You need to visit that issue, visit the affordability, whether you can afford it or not. You say you cannot. The loan that you're taking from that government, are you paying any interest on it or not? And is that interest delayed, or and can you pay it on time without interest or not? So we need to visit all those issues, inshallah. So the ideal thing is that you pay for it yourself. If you cannot afford it, but you want to take a loan from the government, can you afford to pay that loan back without paying any interest? That should be your focus and number one, inshallah, I forgot the word that I wanted to say, but that is your priority, that you would pay it without any interest. And you try, inshallah, if that's the case, you can work while studying. You could work while studying to pay it off as soon as possible so that you don't fall into paying any interest. So that can make it permissible, inshallah, right? That could make it permissible. Wallahu a'lam. So I know that I've taken a lot more time than I'm announced, and I apologize for that, inshallah. So our main talk, inshallah, finishes around 10 to 15 minutes. The rest is given to questions. So inshallah, I'm going to stay here, inshallah, as long as you guys have questions, but not beyond half hour, inshallah, so that it does not become too much on all of you, inshallah. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla Rabbil Alameen to grant us patience so that we will learn it in this month, and we would enhance our patience so that we can be more patient Muslims and human beings in Ramadan and after Ramadan. So, Ya Allah, make us more patient in Ramadan and after it. Ya Allah, teach us to be patient in Ramadan and after it. Accept our fasting, accept our qiyam, accept our reading of the Quran. Make us of those who remember you often in the month of Ramadan, during the day and during the night. Teach us the best of manners in Ramadan and protect us from the worst of manners in it. Allow us, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to be close to you in this month. Allow us to make dua for our parents, our spouses, our children, and for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allow us to make dua often and accept it from us in the month of Ramadan and after. Jazakumullahu khaira for listening and for your attention and for your questions. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from all of us. Jazakumullahu khaira. And we will meet you tomorrow, inshaAllah, with another story from the Quran. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.